Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
You're driving another Sunbury Motors beauty this week.
And this week we're featuring the 2015 Hyundai Sonata Limited. And as I talked about yesterday, a fantastic ride in that vehicle. Very comfortable leather seating. Heated as well, which comes in very handy this time of year. Also, this particular one features HD radio with navigation. And when you put it in reverse, you have that big screen
it
for the backup
backwards?
Camera.
It goes
even,
backwards?
Even better. It shows you a picture of what you're going to be running into and lets you know that you might be running into something so you don't run into it. And the outside mirrors actually tilt downward toward the road when you're backing up, so you can actually see more of the road through the side mirrors as well as the backup camera. Lots of great features on this vehicle. Is, as I said, including navigation. Check it out at Sunbury Motors Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. They've got a lot of the Hyundai Sonata Limiteds there, and you can see the one that I'm driving featuring this week later on this week in person, or you can visit my Twitter feed at Kevin Herr or on my Facebook page and see all the details.
All right, tremendous. That's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And they asked me to do a commercial for them. I said, absolutely. Great people. Mertz family. That Mertz family's had it since 1915. Amazing. Quick note on wrestling, and then we'll transition to something that's an even bigger issue. And that is sports gambling.
There's sports gambling on wrestling?
No, I doubt that. But the bigger issue is the fact that Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA, has come out and said, you know, maybe this ought to be legalized, which is very interesting. That's completely different than what other commissioners are saying. Well, actually, I shouldn't say what other commissioners are saying. He's the only one that talks. So I don't know what the others are saying. They're usually talking through press releases. Again, you can. It's okay. You can answer questions. It's all right. On the wrestling thing, Penn State, Iowa is very, very important for the sport. It's very important for the sport. It's going to be sold out, standing room only, Jordan Center, about 16,000 there. But the sport is losing traction as it goes. I know people that love it don't want to hear it, but you know, part of doing the show is you have to tell the truth. I mean, it almost got knocked out of the Olympics. I think it was a very passionate movement that got it to stay in, which was interesting and I think said something. But it's not widespread in terms of the being in the sports conscious of America. The pockets that it's in, it's very passionate. Pennsylvania, very passionate. Iowa, very passionate. Oklahoma, very passionate. After that, yeah, there's some people that in Minnesota, you know, are into it. Some people in Ohio into it. It has no footing at all in the Southeast. Zero. I mean, the Southeastern Conference. In fact, there's only one SEC school, I believe, that has wrestling. I think that's Missouri. And I think they wrestle in the Mid-American Conference, correct? I believe that's it. And when you have, in this era, the number of all sports networks out there, you have the SEC network, the Pac-12 network, the Big Ten network, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPNU, ESPN News, Fox Sports, Fox Sports 1, Fox Sports 2. And plus the regional networks like Root Sports, Comcast Sports, and so forth. Why no wrestling matches on? with a rare exception.
The only time you see it is at the championship time.
In the championship time, they do a good job with it. ESPN carries it. And the ratings are very good. They're not awesome or incredible, but they're very good. And, you know, I know you talked about eliminating riding time. But part of it, though, it goes a little, your point's well taken, okay? So I'm not arguing your point, Kevin. It's very well taken. You watch a lot of wrestling, and it's very well taken. But there's another part too. The guy in the bottom doesn't do anything.
Well,
I mean, the sport needs something where it needs to be officiated better. They have to, you know, there has to be less tolerance on stalling, because the problem you're running into is that there are too many 2-1, 4-3, 5-4s where the lack of action extends for periods of time. Yes, there may be subtleties going on, but there's a reason they're called subtleties.
Well, you're 100% correct with the stalling, and I think that has to be closely looked at. And the stall in high school is a lot different than a stall in college. A stall in high school is a lot. It happens a lot. And it's a lot of times because you have more inexperienced wrestlers at that level, and they're not exactly sure what they need to do next or what they want to do next. So they're going through a thought process. So the stalling in high school, that it takes an awful lot to get a stall warning. In college, there shouldn't be any time at all for a stall warning.
I could tell you what 90% of the thought process is. Let's be honest here.
Okay.
Okay, don't do anything where I get on my back.
Well, yeah, don't get pinned, right.
Okay, I mean, that's 90% of the thought process.
That's a lot of it.
High school, college. So that's why you see a lot of inactivity. I mean, absolute. I'll make it look like I'm doing something so I don't get called for stalling. Well, all you're doing is stalling the action of the match and the sport away as you do it. And again, we're in an interesting era. This is not the era that I grew up in, where you had CBS, NBC, ABC, maybe an independent station or two, and PBS. Now you have a wide array of opportunities to watch anything you want. Anything you want. If you want to watch NCIS Los Angeles on CBS, you can. You want to watch Blacklist on NBC, you can. You want to watch Real Housewives, pick location, Real Housewives of Danville, you can watch that on Bravo. Right? And then the Real Housewives of Danville can then be guests with Andy Cohen that night. Or you can watch the Westminster Dog Show, which is on next week. You can watch, I mean, look at all the various things that you can watch. And when it comes to sports, you love IndyCar. You love it. You're passionate about it. But you can watch the entire IndyCar season now. Every single race is on. Every NASCAR race is on. You have more NBA than ever, more NHL than ever, more college football than ever, more college basketball than ever. Obviously, every NFL game is on. You have more baseball on than ever. Every major tennis tournament, you can now watch the entire 2 weeks of the Australian Open, the entire 2 weeks of the French Open, entire 2 weeks of Wimbledon, the entire 2 weeks of the U.S. Open. It used to be you watch the third and fourth round of the Masters, U.S. Open, British Open, and PGA. You can see all four rounds now, extended hours. You see every golf tournament every week. Golf has its own channel. Tennis has its own channel, TNN. But college wrestling, and women's basketball has fallen into this as well. There's less and less of that on TV now, if you've noticed. Slowly but surely, quietly slid back. Same thing with wrestling. Less and less every year on there, even though the NCAA championship does very well.
One of the things I think that might help collegiate wrestling especially is to have an Olympic style of wrestling. You know, they don't let them on the mat very long before they're back on their feet and you see more action.
Right. I mean, there's no doubt where it is passionate, it is passionate. Pennsylvania is one of those areas. Very passionate. But I found it interesting in this era of absolute expansion of TV networks where we don't have limited opportunity, limited windows to put it in. There's less. There's something that the people that run networks aren't, there's something that either they're seeing that maybe wrestling fans aren't seeing, or something they're not seeing that wrestling fans are seeing. Something, there's a disconnect between those who program and those who watch it. And I don't know what that disconnect is. Dick in Milton. Hi, Dick.
Hello, Steve. I was at the Michigan State matches with the Penn State fan bus, and a couple things. Well, first of all, Michigan had a sold-out, not full stadium. They don't have that many season ticket holders, by and large. So
yeah.
I'm not sure why that was.
I've done a dual meet there on Big Ten Network, and I think it seats 1,800. It's Cliff Keene Arena.
Right, and, but they announced that it sold out, but the people were invisible in where I was at. But then I make a long story. And Michigan State, there were like 48 people on the bus, and there were some other parents and Penn State fans in that area that came to the match, and there probably were 150 people total at the Michigan State match. Now, Michigan State and Michigan were playing basketball in the middle of that snowstorm also, inside, obviously, but so there was something else going on campus. One of the things that really bothers me is, for somebody that actually tries to follow all these sports and try and get scores, I literally had to subscribe to Flow Wrestling to get updated wrestling results, because Intermat stopped actually carrying the matches as they went along. You could follow along. You literally had to wait for an extra hour to see who won a match now. And then Flow Wrestling, it carries a lot of the stuff, some of the stuff live at $20, at minimum of like $20 a month. And so I guess my point being is they're making it tough to follow college wrestling without paying extra. And that's one thing that bothers me. That doesn't happen in basketball or football or anything, really.
Very interesting point. Can I follow up on that for you with 1 second? Just one quick comment, Dick. I don't want to interrupt your flow here.
No, sure.
When you are fighting as hard as you can for your sport to be recognized, you have to go the extra mile on everything and stay on top of everything. And they're not doing it. And my apologies for interrupting you.
No, that's fine. But the NCAA is not nothing wrong with Flow Wrestling. I don't mean it in that respect, but there's no other sport that literally you have to pay a month service to find out accurate results more quickly. I guess that's the thing that kind of bothers me. Or watch stuff. You know, nobody's paying that kind of money just to watch college basketball. It's on about everything but the Cartoon Network at night. I guess that's the point. And it just kind of bothers me a little bit that the NCAA says, how come we don't have our sport more promoted that people have to pay to actually watch some of this stuff, you know? I guess it's the thing. I mean, maybe they figure it's not that big a market, but they still get 18,000 people at the NCAA championships from all over the country. And the other thing that makes it kind of bad in a sense is, and I don't want to use the word regionalized, but other than the Midwest and the Northeast and a little bit in the Pacific Coast, wrestling by and large is not, if you went from pretty much from Georgia across to other than Arizona, across the bottom part of the country, you don't have any college wrestling, so Division I wrestling, and that's one thing.
Right.
I mean, you mentioned yourself out of the Big 12. I think Missouri had to go somewhere else, and there were only five teams in the conference at all, and then Nebraska went in the Big 10, so they really didn't have five teams wrestling anymore. It's just that's the way it is. I mean, there's a lot of the East and the Midwest and the upper Midwest and Division One, and that's probably where it's going to stay. Than I do when a team had a for gender equity or Title IX had to drop a sport, it was easier to drop wrestling than anything.
Right.
You know, it's just because
if I have a baseball program, I've got a softball program. If I have women's soccer, I've got men's soccer. Well, wrestling doesn't have a female sport that matches it.
Well, the only thing that might be a salvation in a sense is, and I don't know that it will be, is in the last, I'm going to say the last 10 years maybe, high school wrestling is grown exponentially in California, and even in Texas now it's starting. There just weren't that many schools, I don't think, that wrestled, and now there are getting to be more. So maybe as more and more kids come from out of that area, maybe something will change. I mean, you get kids out of Texas and you get some out of Florida, and randomly you get these kids. Like when we went to the match the one night, it was kind of interesting. They had a Michigan State had a two-time state champion from Kentucky, and I looked around and said, "Jim, I wonder who he was wrestling against." I'm not trying to detract from being a state champion, but I've never even known of a wrestler coming out of Kentucky that, around here. You see him from occasionally New England kids or Vermont or New Hampshire once in a while, but I guess it's just going to stay the Ohio's, the Pennsylvania's, the Iowa's, the Indiana's, the whatever, and then every once in a while, a couple kids from here. There's more kids out of California than there used to be. My God, there ought to be. There's look how many high school kids there are.
Yet the biggest growth sport in high school is not wrestling.
That's
in California.
Lacrosse.
It's ice hockey.
Oh, lacrosse would have been my guess, too.
Yeah.
Ice hockey is exploded out there in part because of the Kings, the Ducks, and the Sharks.
Yeah, I'm sure of that, yeah. And the other thing, with no more global warming, it's probably freezing all the way down to San Diego now.
You didn't tell Mark Lawrence that, did you?
No. I told you before, this is just always been my opinion. I don't think you should play hockey south of the Mason-Dixon line. It just bothers me, I hate to think that the next NHL team will be in Mexico City or something. I don't like that, so that's where I kind of like putting NFL football teams in England or something.
In London, yeah. The National Football League in London.
Yeah, the untapped market.
But anyhow, that's the story. I have so many theories on wrestling, and what it is what it is. As long as they tried to get where you guys know this. I mean, obviously they moved the Midwest all the way to Rutgers so they could get in that the Big Ten conference. They can't go any further east. I know that unless they play aboard a aircraft carrier. I guess I don't know what'll happen out there next. It was like suddenly referred to the. I always got a kick when they put Penn State in that conference. They put Penn State in the Midwest Conference, and it's always been a Midwestern conference in a sense, from Ohio west, and then all of a sudden they added Maryland and Rutgers, and whatever.
Well, you know what though that's been good for Penn State, the fact that Maryland and Rutgers are in. I mean, that's because at least it's regionalized it for Penn State, because Penn State's been the outcast for a long time.
Yeah. But anyhow, that's my theory on wrestling a little bit. I just think the NCAA considers it, I don't want to say the black sheep of the sports family almost, other than the championships. They have enough other sports to worry about and promote that I guess the wrestling fans promote it themselves, and then NCAA does the best they can to just tag along, I guess. I don't know what else to tell you with that.
Yeah, part of it comes down to TV executives. And because they're the ones that have to make decisions on programming, and there's something about the sport that doesn't appeal to them.
But it's pretty obvious that other than Penn State that fills a rec hall, and I'm sure Minnesota, Iowa gets a lot of, I'm not in there, I know what they get.
Yes, they do.
But other than that, these other places, I don't know what Minnesota even gets for an actual crowd, so in Ohio State, so.
Right. That's a good point.
I'm hoping later on or somewhere something happens. I don't know. I just know one thing, and this will be my last comment, is these teams better get a hold of Penn State if they're going to beat them this year, because they might have a long road to hoe after this, because Iowa's loaded with a lot of upperclassmen. And same with Minnesota's got quite a few, I think. And Ohio State, got a little, now they're pretty young, too. But Penn State, they got almost a second team in waiting.
They've got another three or four in a row in them once this year is over with.
And
the athletic director at Ohio State is just hoping that, you know, the couple guys do really, really well because he gets bonuses.
But, you know, that's exactly what you need. You need multiple guys in the wrestling room that can give you competition to make you better. I mean, and it's like Dick said, Penn State's going to take its lumps here a little bit. But think about what the future holds and all these other teams trying to make sure they have that competition in the wrestling room.
And Penn State has actually made itself a training center for these kids to move on to, you know, afterwards for Olympics and pre-Olympics and U.S. world teams. And because there's a lot of kids up there wrestling right now that, you know, they're going to stay around there. They make the Penn State wrestlers better, too. I mean, they just do.
Well, all right. And that's the Kale influence right there. I mean, that comes down to one man.
Yeah, I understand that. Yeah, everybody wants to be around him.
Yes.
It's kind of like that's what it is.
My kid wears his shoes, but he doesn't wrestle like him, though. That's the only problem.
I don't think anybody ever did. Maybe Gable. And somebody beat him, I guess. I don't know. Maybe he had his bad day.
Gable lost once. Gable lost one time.
Yeah, that's right. He had a bad day one day. That was it.
Yeah. Sanderson never had a bad day.
Not yet, anyhow. Almost never as a coach, either. That's a kind of amazing thing, but... Anyhow, Penn State's pretty loaded yet, and they're going to do okay, and they'll be somewhere. But the other thing that's kind of unique about this weekend, it's Ohio State, Iowa comes in with a top 20 kid in each weight class. That's pretty rare. I mean, a ranked wrestler in every weight class. Penn State has eight ranked wrestlers, and Iowa has 10. You aren't going to find much better wrestling.
No, it'll be outstanding. Uh-huh. It should be a tremendous dual meet. To see, I think it'll be. I don't know if it'll be a tremendous dual meet to see. Iowa's going to be favored almost across the board. We'll see what Penn State's able to find at home.
Well, we beat two number one guys at Minnesota. Penn State beat two of their number one kids, number one kids in the country. So, I mean, our kids are no slouches. All right,
light some candles.
Thanks, Steve.
See ya. All right, bottom of the hour. Time for news.
Light some candles. I like that. That was good.
All right. Bottom of the hour news. Then in the final half hour, the Kevin Herr rant of the day. Unsponsored.
Oh, you can't just spring that on me. I mean, I can't just
spring
rant off the cuff.
You just did. See? Unbelievable how you're able to do it on cue. News Radio 1070 WKOK. This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line of few other auto dealers in our area can compete with our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles. There should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hi there. Welcome. Great to have you with us. 800-795-9565. I'm going to talk about a couple of things in this half hour. We're going to talk about... too many stoppages for replay, and I will touch it on Penn State football recruiting. It's this is something I've talked about before, but Jay Billis, to his credit, has taken it, I think, to a whole new level with what he's doing. Because right now, you know, I talked about the lack of action in wrestling, which is not helping the sport. College basketball is getting is lapsing a little bit in that direction because they keep stopping the games because they have to check something. Now, I can understand during a TV timeout where you're allowed to go over and see, was that a two or a three? I got that. Final 2 minutes of the game, you're allowed to go over to the monitor to see who the ball is off of. Final 2 minutes. But this constant stoppage to see whether it's a flagrant foul has got to stop. It's got to stop. If you didn't see it the first time, or if you suspect it happened, because it happened right in front of you, and you want to make sure there's contact, I got that. But coaches requesting to have them go to the monitor to check has got to stop. And that is a huge problem with what I'm seeing, because coaches can request it. Enough. I've seen too many times now where they've stopped, looked, gone back, forth, what happened? And then they huddle up. What do we do with it? It's like, enough. You're okay. Stop going to the monitor. Stop listening to the coaches telling you to go to the monitor. Look at them and say, it's over. We're moving on. Keep the game going. One thing I wouldn't mind seeing happen is if there's, in terms of a replay, is replay on goaltending involving the backboard. Did the ball hit the backboard or did the player pin the ball against the backboard? That's it. That doesn't take long to take a look at. You know what? To be frank with you, I haven't seen. There's not been one time in a Penn State game this year where there's been a backboard play dealing with goaltending. Zero. But that would be the only other one, because that one there will replay can tell. Hey, look, they hit the backboard, and again, the other part is you don't know if the ball is going to go in or not. But there's too many stoppages. Too much going to the monitor. Too much trying to see if there was a flagrant. Look, if you didn't see it as you're refereeing the game, I don't need a coach asking, did that happen? I'd like you to go to the monitor for that. Look at Evans go, no, we're not going to. Move on. The monitor has become a little too much of a crutch here. And believe me, and it's not officials, it's coaches have got to stop asking for it. The officials do the right thing when it comes to three-pointers. They're allowed to check during the next break. Hey, could you guys reel that back and see if it's a two or a three? They're allowed to do that. And it's done during a time where they're away from commercial anyway. And that's well done. They handle that very, very well. They'll go by the table, they'll point the table and go, hey, look, I'll be checking that basket to see if it's a two or a three. Did that the other day in the Penn State-Illinois game. The kid Starks hit one. I thought for sure the kid Starks was inside the line. Replay showed he was outside the line. I was wrong. Replay was right. Kid got credited for the 3 points he deserved. But that's slowing the game down. People don't want to see games stopped. They don't want to see a lack of action. That goes back to the wrestling thing I was talking about. One of the problems with wrestling in terms of the average fan is that to them they perceive nothing is happening. Well, the same thing in basketball. There was a game the other day between Michigan State and Rutgers. They stopped the game for 5 minutes to look at the monitor to try and find whatever it was they were looking for. Then they call the double technical. So they call the guy that shoot the free throws at one end, walk down the other end, shoot the technical, walk back to the other end, shoot the technical there, right? And the game stopped for 10 minutes. Why? Don't keep stopping the games. Okay? Don't keep stopping the games. If it's a pivotal thing where you need to find out, okay, and to me, and I know if a coach asks for a replay and it doesn't come to fruition, they do lose a timeout. I got that. The other part, too, is there are too many timeouts. Why does a coach need 5 timeouts?
And why is there a use it or lose it timeout? Why not just carry that one over as well?
I don't want that carried over. Use it or lose it is fine. Well, fine with me.
Well, but then split them up is what I mean.
That's a really good rule. I like the use it or lose it.
No. You misunderstand. I'm saying split them up then. You lose all of it. You know, like in football. You have 3 timeouts in the first half, 3 timeouts in the second half.
No.
Then use it or lose it.
No, it's a totally different game. You already have built in, because when you're using your timeouts, you're trying to stop the clock. Okay? The use it or lose it in basketball in the first half, Kevin, is just to stop because I want to diagram a play. Right? You're not trying to stop. The coaches are not trying to stop the clock at the end of the first half. Right? In football, you're trying to stop the clock. That's why you have timeouts. Okay? Clock's running, I need to stop it. In basketball, you're not trying to stop the clock in the first half. I have never one time ever seen a coach call a timeout to stop the clock in the first half, ever. It's always been, okay, boom, I got the ball. Okay, come on over here. You already get timeouts at 16, 12, 8, 4. You already got 4.
Yeah, that's something I keep forgetting.
Right, then you get 4 more in the second half.
So how many timeouts are in college? Refresh my memory. How many timeouts does each coach get?
They get 5 to start the game, and in the second half, the maximum you can have is 4. So if you go through the first half and you have your use it or lose it, well, it's called use it or lose it because if you don't use it, you automatically lose it anyway when you start the second half. They need to cut that down. They need to cut it down to 3 timeouts, something. And the max you could even – I'd take 1 timeout away. You're allowed to have 3. And not only that, coaches misuse them all over the place. How many times you see in the final minute, timeout? Timeout for what? Okay, made basket. What do you think the clock does?
Well, how about the high school? What about the high school theory? The high school theory is 2 30s and 3 fulls the entire game. Now, you don't have any media timeouts there.
In college, you get 4 30s and 1 full. Okay, they aren't all fulls. You get 4 30s and 1 full.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see again.
But
the big difference is there's extra stoppages in college because of TV and media timeouts. Right.
And also the first timeout of the second half that's called by a coach is a long timeout.
Right.
Even though technically it's a 30-second timeout, it's a long timeout. In the NCAA tournament, the first timeout called in the first half, this is unbeknownst to almost everybody out there, first coach called timeout in the first half is a long timeout, too, in the NCAA tournament. That's one that a lot of people don't know.
See, that's the big difference is that the media timeout element that I think makes it a little bit, makes it a lot different than any other form of basketball, any other level right now.
Well, no, I mean, in the NBA... What they do is in the NBA, the under 6 timeout is charged to a team. The NBA has an under 6 timeout in a quarter, under 6 timeout in the second, third, fourth, and they alternate as to who loses the timeout. Now, they get 7.
Well, I was going to say, do they get more then? Because that would only make sense. It would be awful harsh.
Right. They get 7. But everybody knows going to the game what it is. But there are too many stoppages. And not only that, like I said, coaches, right? use your timeouts before there's a minute to go. If you want to save one, save one because you want to do something strategically. I got that. But your other timeouts, okay, you make a basket with a minute 22, use it there. Don't use the timeout with 58 seconds to go. What does that do? You just made a basket. The clock stopped. You don't need to stop the clock. So I always find the logic of it. Also, coach is not playing two for one. I don't understand. You know, I see this all the time. Dick and I talk about this all the time. Okay? Two for one. Okay, I got the ball left with 55 seconds to go. Get a shot up before 42. I can get two of the last three possessions. But coaches want to have more control. They, you know, they got to, you know, and I understand that there's an insecurity for doing it that way. The NBA coaches, because again, they are dealing with professionals and a shorter shot clock, but they have a better feel on the fact that more possessions gives you more opportunities.
Is the shot clock the right length of time in college basketball?
No. The shot clock in college basketball, in my opinion, at max should be 30 seconds.
Yeah, I think it's too long.
Max. Well, it used to be 45.
Yeah. No, I think it's too long now. I agree with you. I think 30 seconds, if you can't get a shot off in 30 seconds, you're not running your offense.
And the reason I'm saying 30 instead of 24, I don't want to, you know, the NBA uses 24, so make your game just a little different. That's the reason why I picked 30. Make your game a little different. Go with 30 seconds as opposed to the NBA's 24. And keep 10 seconds to get the ball across the line. The NBA rule is 8. All right, we'll come back. Talk quickly about recruiting in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line of few other auto dealers in our area can compete with. With our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915.
All right, welcome back. Tomorrow's National Letter of Intent Day for college football. Penn State does now have the full complement of 25 recruits. And since they have the, because they picked up the 25th verbal commitment today, the signing begins at 7 a.m. tomorrow with the fax machine revved up and talking. Revved up and going, and then we'll do some talking. James Franklin's scheduled to be on with us tomorrow.
They're still using a fax machine for this?
Yes, you still have to do it this way.
I mean, I understand you need a physical paper with a signature. I get that, but you can't scan it and email it?
No, you have to do it this way, and I there's a part of me that still agrees with that because it is a physical piece of paper with your actual signature on it. You know? And I understand, like, why don't you just email and so forth? Well, anybody can email anything. But I think it has to be done. I think it has to be done through the school when you send it, I believe. So there's a lot of things that come in as to why they do it that way. And I think that, you know, for authenticity. But the Penn State, this is the Boston College game in the Pinstripe Bowl, to me, signaled an end of the sanctions. Now, Penn State's far from out of the woods on this thing because Penn State, for example, played this past season with 64 recruited scholarship players on it. They played with 41 recruited scholarship players in the Boston College game, 41. This class is very important because it's allowing Penn State to then
establish some depth within the program, athleticism, and so forth. But it's also opening up the door for Penn State to get back closer to an even playing field with everyone else. I think Penn State will be right around, I want to say, 80 when they're all said and done with this. 80 scholarship players. And then finally in 2016, they'll have 85. This is an exciting time because you see what he's doing with it, James Franklin and his staff. While they'll be young next year, because I think you'll have 41 of the 80 scholarship players will be either freshmen or redshirt freshmen. Now the fans will get a chance, I think, to see everyone grow together. Fans get to be involved in the process of watching it grow together. Players get to, of course, be an important part of watching it grow together, coaching staff, and so forth. Where now you feel like you're watching the growth of something. You can't just wave a magic wand and you're going to suddenly have a top 7 or 8 football team. But this class helps establish a foundation. Not many programs could have gone through what Penn State's gone through because, look, Bill O'Brien got the scholarship thing down into the upper 60s in 2012. And then they were right around 64, 65 in 2013. And last year's 64 recruited scholarship players with really 41 active near the end. I think they only had 38 active near the end of the Wisconsin game when they beat them at the end of 2013. That's the kind of hand Penn State's been playing with. 12 was a real tribute, obviously, to what Bill O'Brien did with his personality, strategically, and so forth, but also to the type of player that was recruited by Joe Paterno and his staff and the character that they brought to the table. 13 was a real tribute to, again, a senior class that was a tribute to the athleticism and character that Joe Paterno and his staff brought in, along with the additions that Bill O'Brien himself made, the Jordan Lucases, the Christian Hackenbergs, the Adam Brennemans, and people like that. Last year was, again, senior class, the Mike Halls of the world, Donovan Smiths, Deion Barnes, and so forth. Again, Joe Paterno and his staff recruited them, brought in some really good football players that had great character and strength to get through something like this, in combination with, obviously, the emerging players that were brought in by Bill O'Brien and his staff that played a pivotal role across the board. And the young players, Rand Haley, Christian Campbell, Chris Godwin, Saeed Blacknall, people like that, that James Franklin brought into the program as well. Where all three were able to meld together. Not many programs could have gone through all of this. And when I say 64, remember, that means you're one full recruiting class behind everybody else who has 85. That's 20, you're a minus 21. And yet they still won 22 games. Now you feel you've turned the corner. Now you're feeling the upswing. We'll see how these players develop, because that jump from high school to college is certainly a big one. Just like the jump from college to the NFL is an exponential one. But they've put more athleticism in there. There's going to be a better positional balance in here that James Franklin likes to work with. They're not quite there yet on positional balance where he wants it. It's going to take a couple more recruiting classes, but they're on track. And the fun part, even though some patience is still going to be needed, the fun part will be watching it as we all watch it grow together. Watching it grow together is a lot better than nervously wondering how much you lost or watching something fade away. The excitement level is about to kick up and into gear. Now, it's still going to take some work,
There's still a ways to go here, but you sense and feel the upswing, the uptick, and the direction it's going in. James Franklin's scheduled to be with us tomorrow on the show. Thanks, everybody. Appreciate you listening today. Kevin, great job as always. Talk to you tomorrow from Maryland.